You guys, we have not one, but two executive producers joining us here today. Honored. Honored we are. What's up, y'all? And welcome to my little corner of the interwebs where I like to come every Friday and give you the top stories in pop culture from the past week. I'm Carrie. That's Cedric. You're a busy person. I can tell. I don't want to waste your time. So let's get into it and let's get you pop cultured. Our first story of the week is Justin Timberlake issuing an apology to both Britney Spears and Janet Jackson. In recent weeks, the singer has faced a lot of criticism from fans who are unimpressed with how he handled his relationship with ex-girlfriend Britney Spears. In fact, Justin and his relationship with Britney was heavily covered in the New York Times documentary Framing Britney Spears. In addition to the documentary, last weekend's Super Bowl game left fans looking back on Justin's controversial halftime performance with Janet Jackson. On February 12th, Justin took to Instagram and acknowledged some of his past mistakes. In his statement, he said, quote, "I've seen the messages, tags, comments, and concerns, and I want to respond. I'm deeply sorry for the time in my life where my actions contributed to the problem, where I spoke out of turn or did not speak up for what was right. I understand that I fell short in these moments and in many others and benefited from a system that condones misogyny and racism." He continued on to say, "I specifically want to apologize to Britney Spears and Janet Jackson, both individually, because I care for and respect these women and know I failed. I also feel compelled to respond in part because everyone involved deserves better, and more importantly, because this is a larger conversation that I wholeheartedly want to be a part of." He goes on to say a myriad of other things, but most notably says that he never again wants to benefit from others being pulled down. Justin and Britney started dating in 1999 and then split abruptly in 2002. The media then went on to craft this really destructive narrative that the entire breakup was Britney's fault and really kind of publicly bullied her over the breakup. As for Justin's complicated past with Janet, I'm sure you have not forgotten the 2004 Super Bowl halftime performance when he pulled at her leather bustier, exposing her breast for the entire world to see. After that incident, Viacom ordered Janet's music to be kept off of MTV, VH1, and all radio stations under their corporate umbrella. Janet's invitation to the Grammys that year was also rescinded. Meanwhile, Justin was still able to attend and suffered no career repercussions. Look, this topic is complex and we could do a whole show about it, but I'm gonna get to the very basics of it here. Yes, Justin owed both of these women apologies, hands down. In both of these instances, he stood by idly while the media and society crafted this extremely detrimental narrative of what happened in these situations and did nothing to change it or fix it or step in any way, shape, or form. That being said, in my opinion, more importantly, our society as a whole owes these women an apology. Justin didn't go pounding on Viacom's door, insisting that they pull Janet's music from the air. That wasn't his decision. He didn't speak up on her behalf to say what they were doing to her was unfair, but ultimately, the decision to take her music off the air was made by the higher-ups of Viacom. Can Viacom apologize to Janet? Because I think maybe they should. Justin is truly just a minor player in the bigger picture of how our society treats women in this industry. It's disgusting, and it's where the true problem lies. If you're interested in learning more about the Britney Spears conservatorship, I actually did a deep dive on that very topic in a special pop culture news break. I will leave it linked up here above for you to check out. On to story number two. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are expecting baby number two. On Valentine's Day, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex announced that they are expecting another baby. A spokesperson for the couple shared the following statement, quote, "We can confirm that Archie is going to be a big brother. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex are overjoyed to be expecting their second child." The news comes just months after Meghan disclosed that she had suffered a miscarriage in July of last year. Meghan candidly detailed the, quote, "unbearable grief" she endured in a piece written for the New York Times. Now, just a day after their baby announcement, CBS announced that Meghan and Harry would be sitting down for a joint interview with Oprah Winfrey. The talk show icon will be sitting down with the Duke and Duchess of Sussex for a 90-minute primetime interview that is set to air on March 7th. According to CBS, the special will feature a wide range of topics, including stepping into life as a royal, marriage, motherhood, philanthropic work, and how she is handling life under intense public pressure. Harry will later join the women to discuss their move to the United States and future hopes and dreams for their expanding family. The interview will be the royal couple's first high-profile joint sit-down since their engagement interview with BBC News in November of 2017. First of all, and most importantly, congrats to them on the baby. That is incredible. I wish them all the best. Can't wait to see if Archie gets a brother or sister. Now, in terms of the interview, I don't know, y'all, I'm a little surprised by this. You know, Meghan and Harry have had a tumultuous relationship with the media, and part of them stepping down from their senior roles as royals was that they desperately wanted privacy, and at least that's what they told us they wanted. Now it's coming up on a year since they fully stepped away from their roles as senior royals, and it's becoming more and more obvious to me that they want privacy, but they still want relevancy, which, I mean, I'm not shaming. That's great. I don't blame them. But this narrative that they wanted to step away from royal life and slink back easily into obscurity to raise their family and live on a farm with goats and chickens and, I don't know, like make their own soap, I just don't buy that anymore. I think things like this interview prove that they still very much so want to be in this ecosystem and sphere of important peopleness so that they can do things and be people and create things and, let's be honest, make money. They got damn bills to pay. They don't have that royal allowance anymore. They got bills to pay. They're living in Montecito. It ain't a cheap place to live. Regardless, y'all know I'm going to be watching this interview and y'all know I'm happy to see their cute little baby that they pop out. I mean, of course. Moving on to our next story. Disney officially drops the first trailer for their brand new Cruella movie. Oscar winner Emma Stone has transformed into a younger version of the iconic 101 Dalmatians villain for her role in Disney's highly anticipated Cruella movie. On Wednesday, February 17th, the company dropped the first official trailer for the upcoming live-action film, which is set to be released on May 28th. In the sneak preview, viewers learn more about Cruella's earlier years in 1970s London and watch her go toe-to-toe with the Baroness, who is played by Emma Thompson. Okay, here are my thoughts. Number one, I'm getting major Joker vibes from this. Number two, I can't really tell from this trailer what the arc of this movie is going to be at all. Now, I know from reading the press release that she goes toe-to-toe with Emma Thompson's character, but I got literally none of that in the trailer. And I fundamentally have a problem with movie trailers that give me zero intel into what the movie is actually going to be about. Just saying. Number three, I just really don't see Emma Stone playing a nefarious character, to be quite honest. This is such a departure from any role she has ever done before. Easy A, La La Land, Crazy Stupid Love. I mean, it's so different from anything she's ever done. And I'm really struggling, even after I saw the trailer, I'm struggling to see her in this very wicked, like sick character type of a role. Number four, last but maybe most importantly of all, Cruella De Vil will always be Glenn Close. Let's move it right along to some congrats and condolences for the week. Our first congrats of the week goes out to Selling Sunset star Christine Quinn, who announced that she is pregnant with her first child. More baby news out of Hollywood. Our next congrats goes out to Kit Harington and Rose Leslie. The Game of Thrones co-stars welcomed their first child, a boy, earlier this week. Congrats to them. Our only condolence of the week goes out to the family of Rush Limbaugh. The radio personality who had been battling lung cancer for the past couple of years passed away at age 70. We are sending the best to his friends and family during this time. Cancer is so, so tough and so brutal. So sending all the best wishes to them as they move through this really difficult time. And in happier news, because I hate ending the show on a low note, did you know that Happy Gilmore turned 25 years old this week? Doesn't that just blow your mind? The price is wrong, Bob! And that is gonna wrap up today's show, you guys. As always, let me know your thoughts on any of the stories I covered today in the comments below. I would love to hear what you think about the new Cruella trailer, and I would love to hear what you think about JT's apology. If this is your first time here, hi! And welcome. I would love it if you came back again. I hope you enjoyed the show today. And if you did, make sure that you give this video a thumbs up and make sure you subscribe because I got more videos coming all the time. If you want to keep up with me on a daily basis, you can find me over on the gram. I am at carrie.gillespie. That's going to do it for today, y'all. Thank you so much for being here. You have officially been pop cultured.